poker game, and then you just re-raise me. You know what I mean? And then I'm like, well, I guess I got to fold, you know, because I just had big country. But no, I remember that campaign. Was that like 97, I think it was, when Oracle was being renovated. So we'll get into that tonight. And, you know, I love that you hit on that, the unification, because that's, you know, part of why I love sports is the way that it, you know, unites everybody. See, me being an East Bay guy, I've been to basketball games there, roller hockey games there, concerts there, the circus, wrestling. I mean, on and on and on. I've been to so many different events there down the years. But just based on my job in broadcasting the last handful of years, I got to tell you, like, probably my best memories at Oracle, like game 5 of the 2014 NBA Finals, it really doesn't get any better than that, right?
No.
I mean, well, 2015, I guess. It was 2014-2015 season, so it was in 2015. Like, I'll remember that game till the day I die. Just being there and experiencing it. And I wasn't sitting in the press box. I was there as a fan that night. Incredible.
Yeah, I remember me and my boy Joycey went to go see the Warriors in the second round. Like, you got to remember, second round was like, oh my God.
Yeah, how is this happening?
And this is unbelievable. Second round against the Spurs, 2013. And I'm standing next to him. Standing next to him. And we are screaming at the top of our lungs to each other. And I can't even hear what he's saying. You know, that's how loud that arena was before the game even started. And the one unique thing about that particular arena for me, like, and I told you, I bought a ticket. I sat up in the final row for the last regular season game at Oracle. And I mean this. People could say, oh, there's some nosebleeds. There's not a bad seat in that entire place. Not one bad seat in that entire place. All of the sight lines are beautiful. I know it's you're high up, but you still have a great vantage view, and you could see everything play itself out. You have the screens that you could see where it hangs over, you know, the monitor. Like, I love that arena, man. And I love that walk to and from the arena. There's something iconic about coming off of whether you park in the parking lot and you take the waltz over, or you take BART you get off the platform and you walk over that bridge. Like, there was just something special. And you're just, again, we miss these civic communal gathering spaces, and this is one of the last ones where the entire Bay Area comes together as one.
Yeah, and we definitely want to hear from Oakland natives tonight in particular, because I know that we want to celebrate the Chase Center. We're all excited that we're going to have a state-of-the-art facility, but look, man, like, that's it. Tomorrow night, it's a wrap. And based on everything that they did in Game 5, they at least made sure that we're going to get this tomorrow night, one last game at Oracle. And I think coming into the series, if you were going to draw it up, like, you'd say, okay, Game 6 is when they're going to close it out. Well, really, if you're going to draw it up, Game 4 is when they're going to close it out. But to close it out at Oracle. Now, based on everything that's happened in this finals, Butch, and all the twists and turns with the injuries, everything they've overcome, I almost feel like with this team, this group of players, it's almost poetic that the final game wouldn't be a closeout game for them. It's to prevent the other team from closing out, because they've shown us so much resolve pushing back the way they did in Game 5. And if they can climb that hurdle, if they can be the better team for 48 minutes and force a do-or-die Game 7 and close out Oracle like that, you know, this group of, you know, perennial overachievers, guys that were kind of discounted as superstars, having that ability, I think there's something to that, man. And I think that in a lot of ways, that'd be really poetic.
Well, I feel like the basketball gods, they gave us one last chance. Like, they felt like they, you know, however you want to put it, you believe in a higher being, spirituality, whatever you want to call it. They were due this particular opportunity. There was no way we were going out like we did in Game 4. Like, I'm sorry, that could not have been the final chapter of Oracle. And it couldn't be for this fan base. Like, there's a lot of diehard fans, whether they make the trek over to Chase Center or not, that deserve that one last opportunity to celebrate. Because I think that's what tomorrow's going to be. I think it's going to be a celebration. Celebration of 50 freaking years in Oakland. Celebration of this particular fan base, of that arena, of what these players, especially Steph Curry, Klay Thompson, Draymond Green, what they mean to this area and how they represent this area. I mean, man, Steph, Klay, and Draymond have been overlooked at every single turn. You're too small. You're not good enough. You're not good. You know, Draymond, you're not athletic enough.
Right.
You know, you played too many years in college. You know, whatever it is, they've always been overlooked. And I think in many ways, Oracle itself, the arena, the area with which it's in, has been overlooked as well. And yet people know it's a diamond in the rough, just like these three players. And I think we got to celebrate it tomorrow night, man. I'm ready.
100%. A lot of people checking in. 510's feeling the respect from the East Bay. Shasky shooting you some respect. 619 said, I'm going to miss the hot dog stand by the BART on the walk back. And, you know, you could always get some knockoff jank Warriors gear heading over the bridge. Let me get that $5 hat real quick.
Beanies.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. If it's cold, like, I'll give you $5 for a beanie right now just to keep my ears warm for this walk.
Yeah. I would say this, like, because Candlestick used to have all the munis, right? But when you're waiting at the BART platform, right? The muni stops, like, you can hop on one of the 57 munis that are waiting there. Yeah. But that BART platform, because everybody has to wait on that platform. And when those BART cars get completely jam-packed where there's no room, was there anything more popping than an after Warrior game win on that platform? Because I would say that's one of the coolest experiences in sports that we're not going to be having anymore.
Yeah, and I'll take it a step further. I've taken BART out there for a lot of concerts over the years.
Oh, yeah.
And so the same thing, and everybody getting out of the concert and
feeling
getting on
themselves.
BART. Yeah.
Ladies in high heels, and they take the high heels off, and they're walking in bare feet across the bridge.
On that
and
nasty
I'm like,
ground.
What are you doing? You know you're toasty when you're taking your high heels off. Oh, my goodness.
408, I said I've seen roller hockey games there. Shout out to the Oakland Skates, Doug Lawrence and Sly Nowd. Absolutely. A lot of people checking in. Somebody's driving by on Broadway in a Battery and a red Nissan right now. What up?
What up?
People checking in. All right, so line it up. We see a lot of people on hold. If you're on the board, we're going to get you on the other side. What does Oracle mean to you here on the eve of Game 6 of the NBA Finals, which, of course, will be the final Warriors game played at Oracle Arena as they attempt to force a Game 7? Also coming up, 7:45, Eddie Johnson, 17-year NBA veteran. He retired as the NBA's all-time leading bench scorer. He's got a show on Sirius XM, so we'll talk to him. 9 o'clock, our good buddy Scoop Jackson is going to join us as well. We got a fun show tonight here on the eve of Game 6. Joe Shasky, Ryan Covey, Butcher Shop on the game.
Keep the lights on at Oracle. Dust those seats off. That old Bard's got one more dance.
The Butcher Shop continues on 95.7 The Game. Here's Ryan Covey and the Butcher Boy, Joe Shasky.
I love the cleaver chop, too.
You never talk down on a player.
Never that.
Too Short and Forte on the yacht. He had the Jerry Rice jersey.
Oh, thank you.
Woo!
On CMC.
Yes, Chewy.
Shout out, Chewy. All right, what does Oracle mean to you? We lined them up. We put out the bat signal, and everybody checked in. So let's get out to the phones. We want to hear from people from the East Bay, from Oakland, from all over the Bay Area. Let's go out to Bleacher Dave. Great place to start. Line 4 from the town. He's in the butcher shop. Hello, Bleacher Dave.
What's up, y'all?
Chill.
Man, wasn't that the perfect call for Tim Roy to bring
so good?
Yeah. So what does Oracle mean to me? There's an article in the Chronicle today about that BART bridge, man. So check it out. I recommend everybody else.
Yeah, Peter Hartlob wrote that. Good call.
That's our folks right there.
Yeah. So what does the Oakland Alameda County County Coliseum Arena mean to me? It means, dude. It means catching not the BART. With the bus, man, the 57C used to pull right up into the parking lot. You could, and as a child, when I first was able to catch the bus by myself, going out there and catching that bus to games is one of the things that I always did. As I saw the E-Feezy, Fab, and Too Short were going to show tomorrow, you know, I'd be lying if I say I didn't shed a tear or two and wept a little bit, because the you said something about it, Joe, about this communal place, you know, or the arena was a place where people, no matter of their socioeconomic or demographic status, their race, their age, their gender, we used to all be able to get in there and interact with each other. You never knew who the station in life of the person that would be sitting next to you, because pretty much anybody used to be able to sit anywhere
right. Until
the last 5 years, dude. And so to think about the TOCs I went to, the psychedelic concerts, and all of the Warriors games, you know, Al Addles. I was there the night Phil Smith tore his Achilles, you know, in the 70s. Oh, man, Sonny Parker and Purvis Short.
Manu Bowl. Oh,
dude. Dave, you going to be there tomorrow?
Dude, I'll be there, man. I'm trying to find me a hard hat so I can do the Pee Wee Herman one more time. we've had some days in the arena. But here's what we need. Both of those games were winnable, but the crowd let them down. Too many people from out of town. I don't know if we'll be able to get enough local people in there tomorrow that will make noise actually when the boys need us. just hoping that we're able to go in there and roar one more time.
All right, good stuff, Dave.
We always have done at Oracle.
Appreciate you, man. Thanks for checking in.
Thanks, Dave. I was out at the I went to a game with my niece, right? So I took her on a Sunday night. Detroit Pistons versus the Warriors. Get to go see Blake Griffin. Yep. We were sitting in some fairly nice seats. And who do I see a couple rows down from me? Bleacher Dave.
There he is.
Rocking it hard. He had the A's outfit on with half Warrior. He was double dipping. I think he went to the A's game in the morning and went to the Warrior game in the evening. And so he's a throwback. And he's one of the old school fans. And I'm glad. I think it's appropriate that we heard from someone like Bleacher Dave. The only issue I got with him is he still wears that A's 89 sweep jersey all the time, where it's got sweep written on the back, and it just, it's a gut punch to me and my Giants.
I was going
to
say, but that's how it went down.
That's exactly how it went down.
Yeah, with a little interlude before Game 3 and a break with the Loma Prieta earthquake for sure. All right, a lot of people want to check in. Let's go to Kenny in the town. Go ahead, Kenny.
What's going on, fellas? Thank you for my call, first of all. Second of all, Warriors are going to kick their ass in seven games.
Yeah!
All right, got to win Game 6 first, though, Kenny. What does Oracle mean to you?
The Oracle means, man, I live right behind in the village, right behind the bar, man. So I've been known for Oracle for a while, which is actually known to the Coliseum to me. Oracle means, man, the Harlem Globetrotters when I was younger, going with my family, man. And the most memorable Oracle moment for me, I was in the building the night that Baron Davis did that smash dunk in the playoffs.
Wow.
All right, good stuff, Kenny. Your line's a little janky, but we appreciate you checking in, man.
Yeah, against Baron Davis, against Andre Kirilenko and the Utah Jazz, and Carlos Boozer, and that traitor Derek Fisher.
Everybody romanticizes so much about that series that the Warriors lost in five games.
But you got to remember.
Like, I know. I remember.
15 years in between playoff appearances.
I know.
It was horrible. And not only, it wasn't just the 15 years. It was the fact that every single guy you moved off literally went to his next destination balled out and went straight to the All-Star game.
Except like Troy Murphy.
Don't bring up the Dunn Murphys. All right? Don't bring up the Dunn Murphy sisters.
You know I had to bring that up. All right. Somewhere Mike Dunleavy and Troy Murphy have a big smile on their face waiting for the last game at Oracle. All right. Let's go to Angela in San Francisco. Go ahead, Angela.
Hey, guys. How are you?
Great.
Great.
Oh, my God. Shout out to the Warriors. You guys are going to do it. If not, we still love you.
Yep.
There it is. I like that.
I can. Exactly. Magic. That's what the Oracle means to me. My son shot the Aladdin commercial with Steph Curry, and it was amazing to watch him shoot basketballs on the Warriors court and 2-on-1 with Steph Curry. Steph Curry made all these kids happy. We waited 8 hours to shoot this commercial and get a glimpse of Steph Curry. And I got a chance to be on the floor by myself, just soaking it all in and walking through the players' hallway, just, you know, just in awe of all of this history that I just got to walk through for the first time in my life. So, you know, shout out to you guys for staying with us this whole time. But, you know, that was the best time of my life, was watching my son shoot with Steph Curry.
That's awesome. That's so cool. Thanks, Angela.
I told this to you when I brought my niece out there. When you watch it through a child's eyes, when you see these stars, these particular, because, I mean, Curry's larger than life, especially to the kids. When you see someone like that up close and personal and you see it through a child's eyes, it changes your perspective of the impact of going to the game.
Yeah.
It's just, it's a unique experience that you can't describe until you actually do it with someone who, like, wow, you know, their mind is blown.
So I got to take my little cousin Ashton. I was doing a post game a couple years back, and I told my little cousin Ashton was staying with me for the weekend.
Yeah.
And it was around the holidays, right? And I was like, hey, you're going to come with me to the station to do the show tonight. And he's like, oh, cool, awesome. We always love going to the station, whatever. So I'm like, all right, I just got to stop by and meet somebody and grab something real quick. And so I came in the back way through the Oakland Hills to Oracle because I didn't want him to know where we were going, right? And then we pulled in the parking lot. He's like, wait, like, what, you got to pick up something at Oracle? And I was like, I'm like, how about we just go to the game? He's like, we're going to the game! And so, you know, I took him to the game. We had Raymond Ritter hooked it up, had some good seats and everything. And then afterwards, did the show. Then I got to take him down on the floor after the game. He got to put up a couple of shots. And then they had lowered the hoop. I got this cool picture of him when the hoop got lowered, and it's him standing in the cylinder. Like, he's a little dude. It's just him
great.
On the floor at Oracle standing in the cylinder. I was like, tell me Cousin Ryan didn't hook it up tonight.
So he's been on the floor and I haven't. Where's my hookup?
I'm sorry, but you weren't on the honor roll, so
No, you're right.
I couldn't bring you along.
Yeah.
All right, a lot of people want to check in. Let's go to Brandon in San Ramon. Go ahead, Brandon. He's a young buck, too. What's up, B?
Hello. So the thing that Oracle means to me, well, actually, first of all, thanks for taking my call.
You got it, man.
But the thing that what Oracle means to me is just a memory maker. Like, I've had so many important memories there in my life. I've took a picture with Quinn Cook and Klay Thompson. I've been to the watch party two nights ago. That was amazing. I've never seen a more loud and devoted fan base.
How old are you, young man?
He's 11.
11?
I'm 11.
The young Butcher boy right here. I love it. Everybody's got a little Butcher in them.
You love saying that.
Hey, let me tell you, young man, look, your entire life, the Golden State Warriors have been incredible. Do you know how special this is?
Yes, I really do. I really appreciate it, too, because there's a lot of teams out there that don't really have these opportunities to, like, make the playoffs. And the things that the Warriors do are just amazing. And unbelievable. And it inspired me to, like, play basketball and to enjoy the game as much as I do.
Oh, awesome. Brandon, you're a stud.
Awesome.
I love you, kid. Yeah, I love you, kid.
Direct line. You're better than Lucas. We might need him for the final segment.
Oh, my God. You can't let the kid have his moment. You got to say, everybody's got a little Butcher boy, and the kid just can't be badass. And then you got to rip Lucas.
Because I was one of those kids calling in. I love it. I love when the kids call in.
Yeah.
We have more ladies and kids calling in than any show.
Good stuff,
we
Brandon.
We hit all the demos.
Good stuff, young Butcher boy.
Yeah.
Let's go to Wig in San Francisco. Get that wig split in the Butcher shop.
The wig party.
Thank you.
Fellas, hey, thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
Old school Warrior fan, just wanted to share one quick story. Grew up on the Run TMC era, and Tim Hardaway was my idol growing up, favorite player of all time until we got our boy Steph involved. But it was a blowout basketball game. Run TMC was running up the score. They had 117 and 120. Got all of Oracle free tacos from Taco Bell. And Tim Hardaway throws up a shot from the other side of the free throw, from the free throw line on the other side of the court, nails it at the buzzer. Oracle goes crazy for these tacos. And ever since, man, the crowd, the atmosphere, the love for the team, win or lose, just going through all those painful years, it's a special time and something to really appreciate. So, thanks for taking my call, guys.
Love it, Wig. What does Oracle mean to you? 888-957-9570. We'll ask Eddie Johnson, who, of course, was a visiting player at Oracle. We'll ask him what Oracle means to you. So 888-957-9570. What does Oracle mean to you here on the eve of Game 6?
Yeah, he's bringing up Tim Hardaway, the killer crossover, number 10, one of my favorite players ever. He had the high arcing three-point shot. I mean, he was really one of the first guys that I remember, like, a three-pointer was a great shot for him. You know, that team had unbelievable skill and could shoot the rock like no other. And I really do think, had that team been in a different era, like more modern, I think they'd even been better. Like, it just so happens they never had the center, and you needed the center at that particular time to really, you know, compete in the playoffs. And they just always went up against the Lakers or somebody that was better. And they finally had the full team with Weber, and then Hardaway tears his ACL. You know, and it's just devastating. And Tim Hardaway, one of my favorites of all time. When Dunleavy got drafted and they gave him number 10, I was furious. I knew it was cursed right then and there. He had no business wearing number 10.
You're a big numbers guy.
It is. There's something about the numbers.
I get it. But, like, we can't retire every number. And, like, I don't know. Are we going to retire number 10? Because we're already going to have to retire 30.
No, retire it. But just don't just hand it to Dunleavy. That's all.
Was he a first-round pick?
He was terrible. Third overall.
Right. But no, if you're not gonna give it to your first round pick, who are you gonna give it to? You wanna build the guy up a little bit, give him a little bit of confidence, say like, hey, we believe in you?
But he switched to 34 like the next year. So like clearly he didn't even want that number.
Well, apparently he wanted it at the beginning. I don't think they were like, hey, Dunleavy, you're going to wear number 10.
I know. I'm just saying there's certain numbers that to me, you know, it's just a little more special than others, like 22 for the Giants. You don't just go handing that thing out.
All right. Fair enough. All right. What does Oracle mean to you here on the eve of Game 6? We got a lot to get into tonight as well, including just how the Golden State Warriors are going to beat the Toronto Raptors tomorrow, because there's still a game to play. And I love the nostalgia angle, and I love the idea that, hey, the Warriors aren't going to let this happen, but over 48 minutes, there's going to be ebbs and flows. It's going to be a basketball game, and that's ultimately what's going to decide whether or not we're going to have a Game 7. Not nostalgia, not the fans, not any of that, but matchups and execution and hitting shots and switching and defending and rotating and back cutting and all that stuff. That's what's going to decide Game 6.
Totally. I mean, who's going to be the third leading scorer? I mean, is it going to be Draymond, DeMarcus? Nobody? Like, who's going to step
nobody?
Up?
Nobody? That's bad.
Well, that's what I'm saying. If it's just Steph and Clay, it's a wrap. I mean, it's already a wrap. But you need somebody to step up and facilitate. Ideally, you know, I'm spreading out that third leading score. I want, like, three or four guys to have 12 or more points. If that's the case outside right. of Steph and Clay,
right.
then, yes, that's the template to win. And then my thing, I'm just going to keep saying it. Keep them under 100. Keep them under 100. Keep them under 20 free throw attempts. You do those two things, I think you got a template to win.
Five guys in double figures?
Yeah.
Is that what it takes?
Easy. Absolutely. You got to have it. Iggy, Draymond, Boogie are the three other guys I'm looking for. And if Quinn Cook can get me 7-9. Yeah. 7-9. I just need a couple threes and a layup.
Give me a McKinney corner three, couple, you know, a Jordan Bell bucket. Something like that. Just start adding them up, baby. Just start adding them up. By the way, speaking of happening, the St. Louis Blues are about to win their first ever Stanley Cup. They're up 4-0 on the Bruins, about 3 minutes left. So congratulations to them, even though they gooned it up against the San Jose Sharks. All right, what does Oracle mean to you? Wait, Lucas, in your ear?
He's basically telling me that Quinn Cook needs to have a Jeff Fisher game.
Okay.
Between 7-9.
Oh, I got you. Oh, actually, you know what? Look, that's actually kind of funny. That's actually kind of funny. You are never funny. That's funny. All right. Let's go to Junior out in Oakland. A lot of people want to check in, and we will do that as long as you want to talk about what Oracle means to you. What do you got, Junior?
Hey, what's up? Great show, guys. Just a real quick story. So when I was younger, I had a boss that had tickets to the Warriors, and we didn't make enough money. I could never go. I could barely even make it to a Raider game. Anyway, so I worked, and he said, if you worked hard, you showed up every day, you know, and basically he was picking all the guys that he favored and liked. And so I was just about to give up, and he says, hey, man, you get to go. And I was just so happy. It was my first and only time. I've never even been back. We go, great seats, and he's a little intoxicated, and he's talking bad to the Warriors, and this real big guy courtside keeps looking back. And he says, man, you don't got to talk like that. And my boss is jawing back and forth with him, and I'm a young guy. And so then I look back, and the guy looks at me again. He says, come here. So I look at my boss, and I think, he's going to kick my boss's butt. So he looks back again and says, come here. And I go, me? And he goes, yeah. So I go down there, and he goes, come on, you don't need to deserve that. You sit next to me, and you know who it was? It was Ronnie Lott.
Oh, wow.
Ronnie Lott could have kicked his ass.
That was my only experience, unfortunately, just because of family and bills and stuff. I've never been able to make it back, but I'll never forget that. I don't even remember the game, to be honest with you. Just the fact that Ronnie Lott was so cool and so classy, and my boss was being so obnoxious, and, you know, he was talking bad about the Warriors. I'm a big fan, but the fact that I sat courtside right next to Ronnie Lott, I mean, I'm talking on the court.
Right.
And it was, anyway, real classy, great guy, great memory. You know, and then he even asked me, he goes, hey, man, you gonna be able to get home okay tonight? And I'm like, oh, yeah, he'll be all right later on. But, I mean, he was humiliated, you know, to find out that he passed me over so many times that I finally get to go, and I get to sit with Ronnie Lott watching my first and last only Warriors game.
Is he still your employer?
I'm going to miss it big time.
Is he still your employer?
No. This was when I was younger. This is a warehouse job when I was going to school. When you're just digging and trying to do anything.
Oh, yeah.
I couldn't even eat. I was eating a cup of noodles every day.
But
it was just, you know, to win it, to finally win it, and all his little kiss butts were getting picked, and I was, you know, thinking I'm never going to get to go.
You made it, Junior. Congratulations. That's an awesome story, man. Thanks for checking in.
And that thing's one of the old school Oracle. I call it the Coliseum, but one of the old school, you know, memories that I'll always have is that some of the what we would call local celebrities were right. always out there. Like Ronnie Lott was one of them. CeCe Sabathia was another one.
Yeah.
Obviously, E-40. I know it's fashionable now to see E-40 with his little costumes on, you know, in the background, or Mr. Fab behind the visitor's bench. But like CeCe Sabathia, 40 Water, Ronnie Lott, those guys were always out there. When yeah. the team was terrible, they were out there. And so it's just funny. It's funny to see these guys. And like we see Snoop show up. I'm like, oh, great. Snoop the Jinx. Snoop the Jinx, who's like, I'm a fan of 75 teams. Let me show up to Oracle because it looks like some fun is going down.
Can't he just like to go to sporting events and have fun?
But when he showed up last time, we lost that series against Utah.
What does that have to do with anything?
He's the Jinx.
He's not the Jinx.
He hopped on the
bandwagon. They didn't play good enough. They didn't play good enough.
Snoop is the Jinx.
It's not on Snoop.
He's a Laker fan.
No, he's a fan of everything, right?
It drives me nuts.
I love his videos, though.
Drives me nuts.
When he's in Steeler fan
mode.
Oh,
my God.
Dude, his video ripping Todd Haley a couple years
hilarious.
Ago. All time.
Hilarious.
So, yeah, he goes on some pretty good rants. All right, what does Oracle mean to you? Matter of fact, we'll ask Eddie Johnson just what Oracle meant to him as a visiting player. He played for the Kings, the Suns, the Sonics, so spent a lot of time at Oracle in his 17 seasons. Let's go to Susan in Oakland. Go ahead, Susan. You're in the butcher shop. How are you?
I'm doing okay. Thank you. Can you hear me?
I can. Go right ahead.
Great. So about 19 years ago, my mom moved out to Oakland from the East Coast. My dad had just passed away, and she was kind of sad and, you know, out of sorts and, you know, very disoriented here. And she liked to watch a lot of basketball on TV. So my husband and her would watch the Warriors on TV. So I got them tickets for Christmas so they could go to a game. And it just, like, it meant so much to her. Like, she came to life. She was so excited. She was so enthusiastic. And so the next year, he got season tickets for them. And this was start in 2001. And in 2001. And they've been going ever since. And they would go out 3-4 times a week to see the games. And she would, you know, she was in her 80s. And he would take her, and she would be so excited to, is it a game night? And he would take her out. And, you know, for years, that was the thing that they did together. You know, my husband and his little 80-something and then 90-something-year-old mother-in-law. And now she's 97, and she's still a huge fan, and she can't go to the games anymore. She's in a care home, but she and her caregivers always wear the team shirts and cheer every night, and it's meant a lot to her since she's been a California transplant.
I love it.
Thank you very much, Susan. Appreciate you checking in. A lot of people checking in on the Chilton Autobody text line. This is a good one, Butch. 925 got behind the bench during Weber's rookie year, and Don Nelson was MFing everybody on the team all night.
Shocker. Big shocker.
Nelly letting him have it. How about that last picture that we've seen of Nelly recently, all bearded up from Maui?
He looked like a Russian mobster. Yeah. That's what he looked like. He looked like he's going to be in the next Fast and the Furious movie, like as a villain.
Playing poker and smoking Indo with Willie Nelson out on Maui. Good for you.
I was going to say about Oracle, and I think Bleacher Dave brought this up, about how just all the different ethnicities and economic backgrounds of people that would be at Oracle, mm-hmm. and you'd be
melting
sitting,
pot.
You'd have no clue who you're sitting next to. When you look at a lot of the arenas, and this is just a fact, okay, and this is coming from a white guy, but when you look into a lot of the NBA arenas, let's be honest, a lot of the people in the arena are white people, right?
You're right.
When you go to a game at the Coliseum, like, I always felt like this is the most diverse crowd, and it was definitely representative of the Bay Area as a whole. You'd get the Filipinos, you'd get the Chinese, you'd get black, white, Latin. You had everything under the sun out there rooting for the team, and I gotta say, the old Asian moms would go crazy Warriors.
Yeah.
Always back in the day, all my buddies that went to school, like, their moms were always diehard basketball fans. And it's just something about when you go out there, it's a unique experience. And I'm curious from Eddie Johnson, like, what it's going to be like for someone who played in the NBA at all these different arenas, what his perspective is of Oracle. Obviously, back in the day, you used to call it something else. But, right. You know, what it's like being in that arena as opposed to some of the other ones that he played in the league.
Absolutely. And we'll ask him in just a few minutes. And that's, you know, obviously part of the ties that bind me to sports and part of the ties that make me want to stay here in the Bay Area, even though it's so ridiculous, is the fact that it is so eclectic and there are so many different people. And yeah, the Asian population embraces Dub Nation. I mean, it's just so prevalent all throughout the Bay. I mean, really everyone. In the last few years, let's be real, we see more Warriors, Dub Nation, you know, all that stuff, a lot of Curry jerseys everywhere. But that's a beautiful thing, man.
Well, if you
510, suck it, by the way, but go ahead.
No, but I'm saying, if you used to go to all the liquor stores in my neighborhood, they were owned by guys of Middle Eastern descent. And they'd always be betting on Warrior games. I mean, these guys were diehard. They just came over here and they became huge Warrior fans. When we stunk, they'd be like, hey, 2-point spread at halftime, huh? What do you think? It's like, what? I don't even know. I'm not betting on this game.
And by the way, I meant a texter from the 510, not, of course, the entire 510. Just the texter from the 510, and you know who you are. You're trash. All right, coming up on the other side, we're going to be very pleased to be joined by our next guest. Eddie Johnson is going to join us now. You got to see what I'm reading right here. It's upsetting. Eddie Johnson, 17-year NBA career, Kings, Suns, Sonics, Hornets, Pacers, and Rockets. When he retired, he was the NBA's all-time leading bench scorer, so we will talk to him. Coming up next in the Butcher Shop, Joe Shasky, Ryan Covey, having a lot of fun.
The Butcher Shop continues on 95.7 The Game. Here's Ryan Covey and the Butcher Boy, Joe Shasky.
chest plate.
I know the lyrics. Huh. Go ahead. Start rapping.
My man Mike Marshall, by the way, who does the hook for this one, I Got Five on it. He got a new song out right now. He does the Last Black Man in San Francisco. He's doing a lot of the movie that's going to be out. He's doing a lot of the soundtrack, if you will. And so shout out to Mike Marshall if you're out there. From Berkeley, raised in San Francisco. Big fan of his.
Big fan of I Got Five on it.
Classic.
You go original or remix, because the remix had all the big hitters, but like the OG, there's just something about it.
Oh, the original is an absolute classic.
Which one?
I got to go with the remix just because everybody's on it.
I
40.
Know. I know.
You got Spice One.
You look at Rich. Yeah.
The only guy who's not on it, Too Short, because the Loonies and Short had that funk for a long time. So,
which I think they've since squashed.
Yes, yes, yes. On the Getting It album, Too Short had an whole thing about how he never got ran out of Oakland.
Right.
Even though he moved to Atlanta.
Yeah.
Look at us.
Come on. Let's go.
Right in the story.
It's like we lived here or something.
I know.
510, I was just kidding. You don't kid about that. Screw you. You're done. All right. We're going to be joined by Eddie Johnson in just a few minutes. We are reminiscing and talking about what Oracle means to you. And it, by the way, St. Louis Blues, Stanley Cup champs, 2019. Can't help but think that should have been the Sharks. Good, always good to watch Boston lose, though.
It's always good to watch Boston lose, except for Tom Brady, because you know I like Tom Brady. But outside of that, I love watching Boston lose.
Actually, Jeff Gold, our board op tonight, and I were having that same conversation before the show. He's like, you know, I don't consider the Patriots Boston. I'm like, no, they're for sure Boston. He's
they're
like, no, not really. I'm like, no, they 100% are.
They used to be the Boston Patriots,
right,
and then became the New England Patriots.
All right, and he's like, but I can still, you know, I still roll with Brady. I was like, okay, cool. Like, I can do that, right? Sarah Kidd, Bay Area, no problem.
Yeah. The minute Brady leaves, no attachments to that team.
All I got to say to any Patriot fan anywhere is 46-10, dog, Super Bowl 20. Just roll tape, okay? Roll tape!
Should have handed the ball off to Sweetness.
Dude, don't. Now you're going to get me started, okay? Don't. Don't get me started. Jim McMahon had two rushing touchdowns in that game. They gave the ball to the fridge. But Walter Payton can't get a touchdown. I'm fine. I'm going to be okay.
William Perry, number 72.
Yep. The fridge. Although the Super Bowl shuffle was pretty turnt. And remember when the Niners came out, that we are the Niners, don't stand in our way.
Who was bigger, Bubba Paris or the Fridge?
Boy, the Fridge was not that big. Like, he was just fat. Like,
great nickname.
Fridge was like 6 foot tall. That's
really?
Why he was the Fridge. Yeah, look it up. The Fridge wasn't some like 6'5" dude. The Fridge was like, by as big as he was short.
I always thought he was big.
Look it up.
Because Bubba Paris was, I mean, a giant. And then his two daughters played basketball at Oklahoma, I think. They were really good, too.
Right.
The Fridge, I mean, jeez, wow. Throwback lineman, 8889. No, I'm just joking.
No. Let's keep it on Oracle memories. What does it mean to you? We're going to be joined by Eddie Johnson in just a hot second. Let's go to JB out in Richmond real quick. Go ahead, JB.
Hello?
Yeah, go ahead, man.
Yeah, hey, thanks for taking my call. Great show. There's so many great experiences from seeing Earth, Wind, and Fire to Funkadelic to all the great Warriors games. But when I was about 10, that's right about the time they built it. I went to the Richmond Auditorium to see the Oakland Oaks. Wow. And I won season tickets for me and three of my friends. And, man, that place was so beautiful. Can you imagine, like, four little 10-year-olds just kind of having that place to ourselves, man? And we used to call it the Jewel Box. That was our nickname for it.
Ooh, I like that.
Jewel Box to me.
I like that.
Yeah. Okay. Thanks for taking my call.
Thanks,
cool.
JB.
I've never heard that. That's cool.
Well, you kind of, you hit on something, Bush, that I thought was pretty good. You said that Oakland, that it was kind of like a hidden gem, right?
Absolutely.
So, the little hidden Jewel Box.
Yeah, the diamond in the rough, man. For me, that's always what it was. Every time you went in there, it felt big but intimate, you know what I mean? And you always felt like, again, the sight lines were absolutely beautiful, and the place had a soul, and it rocked. When that upper bowl and that lower bowl together started to get, you know, crazy and wild, you could feel it. I mean, you could literally feel it. And so there was just something about that place. It sucks getting out of there. That's the only thing that does, like, when 20,000 people are trying to leave at one time, it's always going to be kind of a cluster.
That's what I'm saying. Like,
I always said that.
You show me a sporting event getting out, I'll show you a traffic jam.
I'm not even talking about the traffic jam. I'm talking about the aisles and stuff. Like, that's one thing
I got
noticed.
You. Yeah, the causeways are very thin there.
Exactly. That's the only negative.
Well, they said that's a focus at the Chase Center, is to have much
the
wider
ingress,
walking
ingress
areas.
For
Yeah, because the San Jose Arena has these wide, you know, pathways, too, for people to get through and, you know, easy to get in and out, which I like. I just don't like getting funneled in,
no,
you know?
I
don't like
that.
Being stuck in a group of
sardined.
People, like, sardined up, like, the herd poisoning factor, I'm always going to look for the escape route, dude.
Me too.
I don't even care if it's like kind of breaking a rule, like, oh, look at this little red escape sign. It says exit, but to me it says escape.
Yeah, getting in and out in a vehicle, actually, in my opinion, it's one of the easiest venues to actually exit. Like, you hop right onto 880 and you're gone. There's really not much traffic, like, in either direction. You want to go north, you want to go hit the toll plaza, you want to go up, take 80 all the way through, you want to hit up 580 from there, you want to go south to 92. Like, I always felt like getting in and out in a vehicle, I mean, getting there, you know, the 6 o'clock on a weekday, that kind of stunk, just because, you know, 880 is always going to be backed up.
I can't stand that freeway.
I know,
the worst.
But after the game gets out, you literally can be home super quick.
No, that's
a
good point.
It's not that bad. Like, I never thought it was bad getting out of there,
and,
ever.
And then you've got the mixture, too, with the public transit factor, where
big
a
time.
Lot of people take BART in. And, you know, me, you know, growing up in Lafayette, well, I lived there from the time I was, like, 12, yeah. You know, until adulthood. And I took BART a lot to the Oakland Coliseum because it's just how easy. I mean, there's a BART station in Lafayette.
Yep.
Like, let's just drive down to the BART station and just BART in.
Yeah.
And then, you know, it saves you money on parking, easier to get in and out. And the aggravation of sitting in traffic. Like, who wants to deal with that?
Yeah, see, none of my boys had cars that we would want to, you know, be able to all hop into. None of us had vehicles, so we were BARTing everywhere.
Right.
I had the BMW, BART Muni Walk, bro. Come on, BART Muni Walk. You know, take it to Balboa or to Glen Park, you know?
No doubt. All right. And by the way, Butch and I tomorrow, we got a little field trip jumping off during the day, Butch. We're going down to Pebble.
I didn't think of it that way.
Right?
It is a field trip.
It's a butcher shop field trip.
I'm so pumped for
that. Live and local, Butch and I will be down at the U.S. Open at Pebble Beach tomorrow. We'll be back for Game 6, though, for sure.
Maximum Sportage going on tomorrow. We're going all the way down to Pebble. That's why when I'm hearing all these, you know, I got to be at Oracle super early. Like, dude, we are going to be back in time to watch the game. We're going to watch Tiger Woods. We're going to get it all in.
Yep.
We're getting Game 6, final game at Oracle, and we got Pebble Beach, U.S. Open, a major. Sign me up.
And you get to hang out with me all day?
Well,
dude,
that's
win, 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 win. Now we just got to get the W tomorrow night. What do we make for dinner? You said some tacos?
Tacos.
Yeah. All right, I'm down with that.
If this were a dinner, you're the meat and the potatoes.
Okay? All right.
You're not the side dish.
No, never that,
you're
baby.
The center of the plate.
Oh, look at you, man. You're gonna make, and your dad's going to be there, too.
Oh,
Papa Shasky.
Yeah.
Papa Shasky's birthday?
Yeah, yeah.
Say word.
I swear to God.
All right.
So is my cousins Joey and my Nana, my great-grandmother who passed away.
R.I.P.
All on
Nana.
The same day. How random is that?
I love that. Kobe family. Oh, respect. Sorry, I didn't mean to talk over you on that
good.
One. June 13th. Mom, August 2nd. Dad, August 12th. Sister Danielle, August 15th, me, August 23rd.
Wow.
Right? By the time we get to my birthday, they're like, oh, great, another birthday dinner. Sweet, dude. Great. Yeah, we'll see you at the restaurant.
Yeah, you know. At least it's not like January 2nd or something like that. Then you just get lost in the shuffle.
My aunt is December 30th, my Aunt Susie.
Oof.
Yeah. Thanks.
That stunk.
Thanks for coming out.
Mine usually ends up on a Thanksgiving once every 6 or 7 years.
Was that, so let me guess, like November 23rd?
28th.
28th?
Yeah.
Oh, on the back end. Okay.
Yeah.
Probably even more often if it was the 23rd.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's rarer on the 28th.
Yeah, but I always like it as an excuse to get out of wherever we're at for a family function. Like, you know, it's my birthday and I kind of need my own day to myself.
We all love a reason to bounce too, don't we?
I get depressed on my birthday. I like to be alone and do my own things. I don't want to see a bunch of people. That's
just
me.
I just want to have a nice meal and hopefully play some golf.
Yeah, and then video games.
Yeah, like, can we do what I want to do on my birthday, which is jack S, right?
Exactly.
I basically want to do nothing.
Exactly.
And that's, to me, that's the best gift you can give me. Leave me alone.
The worst people are the, it's my birthday month people. Those are
the birthday month. Dude, I've dated some girls in my life where it was like, shut it all down, right? Like, everything, like, we're going to start, like, this is what we're doing on Tuesday, and then Wednesday, and then Thursday. I'm like, dude, I don't even want anybody to know it's my birthday. But for you, we got to shut down the streets. We got the parade. Like, what day are we doing the parade? And then we're doing the dinner with the friends, and then the dinner with the family. No, I'm out on that. All of that.
You know, I was thinking of something while you were bringing this up, and just a random thought.
Sure.
What exactly is going to happen to the arena itself once this season is over?
I asked that same question, and I was told that it'll still be available for concerts and certain events.
Uh-huh.
They're not just going to, like, you know, bulldoze it.
Well, I was saying, like, because, for example, like, I know in the city here, going to Kezar is like a big deal. When you get to play at Kezar, you know, that's where the Pro-Am is every year, and that's, you know, it's a nostalgic place. Wouldn't it be great if all of the local NCS, CCS, all the different tournaments, like, they should be held there? That's where they should be. I think it would be really cool. Sadly, they'll probably try to get Chase Center to get in on some of that action.
Right.
But I'm just saying, like, I think that would be a great place to have a lot of these high school playoff events at a neutral site. I think that would be awesome for a lot of those kids.
No, I totally agree. And, you know, we see, like, you know, the big, like when De La Salle would make it the big football game at the end of the year. What is it, North Coast or whatever the hell it's called? You know, that'd be at the Coliseum.
NCS.
Yeah, the NCS. Yeah, exactly. All right, 888-957-9570. Jump on in here. We want to know what Oracle means to you as we now here are on the eve of Game 6 of the NBA Finals. Of course, the Warriors know what the task is at hand. Win tomorrow night, close out Oracle in style, and force a Game 7 where the winner, of course, will take all. Or the other side of that is you don't win tomorrow night. Not only is Oracle a wrap, but the Toronto Raptors are going to celebrate a Larry O'Brien trophy in your house?
That ain't going to happen. And I want to make sure that the Warrior fans take it upon themselves to be that intangible. Be that, you know, that sixth man or whatever, the 13th man, however you want to put it down like that. They need to be the other body on the court with their voices. They need to make that place rock.
Yeah, you're right.
Make those you know what shrivel. That's what I want to see.
They're
make,
nuts?
No.
Oh.
Well, I wanted to. Sphincteritis is what we like to call it.
Oh, I got you. Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah,
okay.
Sphincteritis. Getting cool. Tight.
All right. I like that. All right. Let's go to Peter out in Concord. Go ahead, Peter. It was like 105 degrees.
Speaking of.
Thank you. It was like 105 degrees there yesterday, Peter. It was killing me, man.
I'm telling you. So, man, my first memory of Oracle was I was 6 years old. I went in 1976 with my dad to see a Warriors game. It was free wristband night, so I got this pair of yellow wristbands that I wore for like the whole next year after I went. It was larger than life. You know, when you're that kid that small, it was incredible.
Nice, man.
Love it.
Good stuff. Thanks for checking in, Peter. By the way, Game 6 is tomorrow night, Butch, when you'll be listening to 95.7 The Game, KGMZ FM and HD San Francisco, at radio.com Sports Station.
So I got a funny Oracle-themed thing that it wrapped around my wedding. I think you'll get a kick out of this
one. Laying on me, baby.
So, you know, I was going to get married to my wife, but I was going to propose to her around Christmas time, right?
That was a strong move.
It is, right? And, you know, so her dad isn't in her life anymore. He passed away. And so I was going to have grandpa's approval, you know?
I like that.
Right? So I wanted to be a stand-up man and go to her grandfather's house, look him in the eye, ask him for his granddaughter's hand.
What if he shut you down?
Well, that was something that I wasn't really considering. I was going to sweet-talk my way into it.
Yeah, I got you.
You know, but I wanted to do everything on the up and up.
No, I respect that, right? For sure. So, all jokes aside, that's legit.
Right, exactly. So, long story short, I go over there, and he gets put in the hospital. Now, he was in his 90s at the time, and I'm getting worried, and, you know, I'm like, oh, my goodness, like, what the heck? Yeah. And so I can't give her the ring on Christmas because I haven't had an opportunity to get the approval of grandpa.
So you don't have a proper Christmas present for her.
Now you're listening. You're paying attention.
Well, no, I'm always paying attention. I'm just putting it together.
You're not me.
Yeah.
So I know this guy who's got tickets, and I say, hey, can you let me get some tickets off you for the Warrior game? Because she's always talking about how she wanted to go to a Warrior game, right? And so they're like, you know, 15 rows back. I get these tickets. I put them in a nice little envelope, whoop-de-whoop. On Christmas Day, I think she had the feeling that she knew I was going to propose. And when I had a couple little small gifts, and then I said, here's the last one for now. You know, here
for
you go.
For now.
Right?
Yeah.
I give it to her, and the look on her face. She opens up these tickets, right? And she's like, you got yourself Warrior tickets and pawned them off as gift to me? And I'm like, no, like, we're going to go together. You talked about how you wanted to go. And they're like, yeah, I'll go to a Warrior game. That's not a proper Christmas gift. And they're like, furious, knowing that really the underlining anger is that I don't have the wedding ring and I'm not proposing.
Yeah.
And this,
right,
and the other. Right. She was furious.
I don't blame her.
So we go to a family party on her side that night. And she goes to her uncle. She's like, yeah, this guy got me some Warrior tickets. And I don't even want to go to the game anymore with him. And blah, blah. Gives the Warrior game tickets to her uncle.
She
Danny.
Gave him away.
Yep. And
so she was legit pissed at
she
you.
She was furious. And it was a LeBron game, by the way. All right.
Wow.
People are gonna remember this game. He played for the Cleveland Cavs at the time. Well, a little time passes, maybe a week or two. I go see grandpa, boom de boom. We go up to Tahoe. I do the proposal. Everything's fine. And I can admit to her, hey, you know, I got the Warrior tickets kind of as a backup emergency parachute,
right,
because I couldn't propose to you
properly.
Don't
panic, pivot.
Exactly. Well, by this time, she'd already given the tickets to her uncle. Well, they go to the game like 3 or 4 days later, and I get a picture after LeBron James hits a game winner, and they're literally like 10 rows, 15 rows back during the greatest game ever. LeBron hit a game winner at Oracle when he was with the Cleveland Cavaliers.
I remember that.
Everyone remembers that.
Yeah.
We should have been at that game.
Wow. But, hey, the Warriors lost that night, so it couldn't have been that good, right?
She was so mad at me. So mad at me. I guarantee you if we got her on the phone, she'd never do it. But if we got her on the phone right now, she would admit she was going to kill me. absolutely kill me over the Warrior tickets. Not that I got them. She thought I got them for myself so that I could use this
gift.
Sure.
Well, yeah. It seems like, I mean, dude.
It's a butcher move.
Bro, I've taken like a lot of dates to Sharks games over the years.
Yeah.
And it's like, no, I want to show you this side of me, right? Show you something that I'm really passionate about. Really, it's if she's a dud, you know, hey, at least I'm at a hockey game, right?
Yeah.
Like, and then it's something that you're passionate about and you can have a lot of insight about. And don't worry, we can get hammered.
Yes,
like, it's
exactly.
totally cool. We can just get a bunch of drinks.
Well, she loves going to games anyway. Like, we had Giant season tickets. She loved going to the Niner games. Like, so we always say, I'm like, let's go to a Warrior. Oh, man. It's one of those things that I think about all the time because they show in his highlight package. It's going to be in his Hall of Fame career. It's going to be that game winner he had when he was in Cleveland wearing the all-black jerseys, banking one in at the buzzer, and I should have been at that game, and I call that the wedding ring game.
Damn, the wedding ring game for Joe Shasky. Your wife would never come on the show?
She thinks that she can't believe when people run into me on the street and they're like, oh, Elizabeth, I love the show, or this and that. She starts rolling her eyes like, don't lie to him. You don't like him. You don't like the show. And they're like, no, I really do, whether they are or not, you know. And I'm like, babe, people like me. I'm charming. She's like, no, you're full of it.
I'm rolling with your wife on that one. Let's go to Brandon in Mountain House. Go ahead, Brandon. I wanted to meet her at the BSO, by the way. I'll get to meet her tomorrow.
Yes.
Right? I'll get
yes.
to meet her tomorrow, so yes. we'll be good. All right. Brandon, Mountain House, what's popping?
What's going on, fellas?
Chilling.
I just wanted to talk about my fondest memory.
Yeah, I love it, man.
Yeah, so I grew up in Spring Park, which is like...
Oh, yeah.
Like Two short raps about it.
Yeah, yeah. I grew up in Sobrani, so what me and my friend used to do, we'd go up to Oracle, and we'd walk around the outside of the arena, and we'd beat on the doors, and eventually you'd get a security guard person that'll open it up. So we used to always get into the Warrior games, and my sister teacher was actually there at the... And he let us come and sit down in, like, the row three. This was, like, back when, you know, the fans were coming out, but it wasn't completely packed. But, yeah, just those memories. And then the first game with John Starks, when he came, and all Warrior fans, we thought he was, like, our savior. We were like, oh, we got Starks. Like, he's going to come in and light it up. Yeah, it was, you know, Oracle was a very special place in my heart. It was, like, one of my first memories of, you know, learning about hoops and all that stuff, and the 3-on-3 tournaments when Ann White used to come.
Oh, yeah,
nice.
The Reebok.
The professor?
Yeah.